The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We're back, Bills Mafia, and we are so excited to bring you another episode of the Mafia Mavens podcast, an all-female podcast about the Buffalo Bills. This week, we are extremely happy because the Bills are 8-3, the first time they've had that record since 1996, and I was 11 years old. Robin, how old were you?
Oh, I was old.
Just kidding. You don't really have to tell me. So they played the Denver Broncos yesterday, went up against the NFL's fourth-ranked defense, and really rocked it. The first thing I really noticed was the offensive line. Mitch Morse, our center, actually went out at the end of the first quarter with a finger injury and didn't return for the rest of the game. Jonathan Feliciano came in at center in his absence and played pretty well, I thought. How do you think you did, Robin?
Oh, I think there was a clear difference in terms of the running game. I'm not sure what to think is going on with Mitch Morse. He's very good at what he does. Is he top five center? I don't know that I could say that, but you know, I'm just looking from a limited point of view, from old eyes. I don't do the all 22 thing and that sort of thing. But what I noticed most was that the running game really picked up, like up the middle. Devin Singletary and Frank Gore were running at will, it seemed like. And I'm not saying they couldn't have done that with Mitch Morse, but I just noticed a difference.
You're right. And it was a little different, I thought, after Jonathan Feliciano came in. He has a certain nastiness about him that I like. He's not afraid to block players and push them over and do what he has to do. He's very physical, which I think is so important at the center position. And the fact that the Bills kind of in the first half only scored 6 points, but then came out in the second half, and that's when they started, you know, they scored the other two touchdowns and really moved the ball well. They had over 400 yards of total offense against a Denver defense that was ranked fourth. Really says a lot about how this offensive line is coming together. They were all new except for Deion Dawkins to start the season. They're really starting to gel. Whether they have to put a backup in here and there or not, they're starting to come together and really open lanes in the run game and give Allen time to make some passes. And what I found interesting was Cover One had a few tweets on Feliciano and even Quentin Spain. And I just want to read a couple of them to you because they're really good. You know, Cover One is one of the best sites for analysis, especially with the offensive line. So I kind of want to read you some of these tweets. One of the tweets was about Quentin Spain. And Cover One said that Spain had one of the better blocks of the season on Gore's 27-yard run. He short pulled down the line of scrimmage. Edge defender crashed inside, so he logged the defender. He turned Reed back inside so Gore could bounce wide, totally overwhelmed the rookie defender. Again, this line is coming together. And then about Jonathan Feliciano. It says, on at least two different plays, Feliciano had to adjust on the fly. The first play, it looked like Dawkins blocked the wrong guy, leaving a defender unblocked at the POA, and Feliciano picked him up for DS. In second half, Bronco sent a run blitz, and Jonathan Feliciano pancaked the blitzer for long. And then the second tweet they said about Feliciano at center helped control the middle. His nastiness and ability to wall off stack players as the running back entered the hole was a difference. So we didn't really have time, obviously, to look at any kind of tape or, you know, any replays or anything like that. It's just the day after the game and we're on a short week since Thursday's the next game. But I'm glad that my eyes were seeing kind of exactly what Cover One's eyes were seeing, and that John Feliciano came and played well. And I think the last time he had to come in for Morse, he also played admirably. So he was actually, I think, a big part of the win yesterday.
He was, absolutely. And I like his nasty attitude, as you pointed out. He sets the tone for the line. And the center position is important that way in terms of setting the mood at the table, so to speak. One other thing I would like to look at when the information does come out, because I wondered, to my eyes, I thought Spencer Long did a pretty good job playing right guard. That just is a testimony, in my opinion, about how it works to have this plug-and-play versatility. You know, you have John Feliciano at right guard. He slips into center. The team was seamless at that point. I mean, you didn't even realize there were substitutions in there, except what I noticed was it seemed like the guys were able to run up the middle a whole lot easier. But we'll see what the All-22 and what Cover One has to say about it. But I was impressed with the fact that this offensive line can function relatively seamlessly with different players going in and out. You know, Cody Ford, I didn't get a chance to really pay attention closely to him because I haven't seen a replay of the game yet, but I think he held his own.
He did. Actually, Von Miller praised Cody Ford and said that he played a pretty good game and against Von Miller, who's one of the best in the league and has been for a while. I think that probably yesterday was one of Cody Ford's best game. The fact that you didn't hear a lot of the offensive linemen's names called during the game says a lot to how they played. And we had 200 and some yards rushing. Allen, Singletary, Gore, they all did really well. That's just a testament to the offensive line. And as I've said a million times before, the offense came in as an almost entirely new unit this season. It takes a while for them to get used to each other and know each other's nuances and how some of the wide receivers like to run their routes and how Josh Allen likes to throw and the offensive line working with each other. They have to work as a unit. We're now seeing, even last week, so 10, 11 games into the season, what this unit is truly capable of.
I think that's very, very well put. But the only thing I can add to that is to take four new players, and in addition to having them function well when they're all together, look at how many pieces have been in and out throughout the season so far. And again, it's been relatively seamless. I'm glad to hear that Cody Ford had a good game. And you're right. I didn't hear anything, you know, particularly mentioned. I think, did he have one penalty called on him? I think he might have. But regardless, he played, obviously, a solid game. The offensive line is starting to hum. They're gelling. Things are starting to come together. You can see even Josh Allen, when the pocket is collapsing, he trusts his offensive linemen to wait until the very last second before he makes a pass if he's waiting for somebody to get open. You know, this is all the chemistry of how it's coming together. And yeah, I was really pleased overall with how the offensive line performed as a whole yesterday.
And that's such a sigh of relief coming from last year where they were just atrocious. So, but you know, also, I don't remember who, it might have been Feliciano, actually, that had said that Josh Allen actually makes them look a little better as well, because he's able to extend some of the plays, like the one where he eluded probably the entire Broncos team yesterday and was able to run for the first down.
He juked so many people out of their shoes. It was incredible.
It was amazing. And how many quarterbacks in the league can truly do that? Maybe two, three?
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. So overall, I think they're just clicking as a unit on offense. And I will say that I do like having Brian Daboll up in the box because he seems to be seeing things better than when he was on the field.
Absolutely. 100% behind that remark, because I think he's calling plays more efficiently. The plays are coming in on time. And the other thing, in terms of what you brought up, in terms of the offense gelling, you're now starting to see Josh Allen looking at plays that Daboll is calling and then changing them at the line. This is a sign of a guy that's starting to have the lights go on.
Yeah, he's getting it. He's progressing. He's getting it. He's starting to become even better than where people expected him to be at this point. And the most important thing for Josh Allen is he's coachable. And I think that's probably the most important trait in a quarterback in general. When you can be coachable like that, you can do anything. All right, let's move on to the Bills don't get enough respect. They are 8-3, and yet everyone still has something to complain about. But the biggest complaint is that the Bills still haven't beaten anybody good. Well, first I'm going to give my opinion on that because it annoys the crap out of me. Yes, we know that you can only play who's on your schedule. And they always say that good teams beat bad teams. Okay, so that's what we've done so far. We've beaten the teams with worse records on our schedule. If we were a bad team, we would probably lose to those teams. So you can't say we're a bad team. But if we're not good, I mean, what does that make us? Average? 8-3, third in the AFC? No. Here's the other thing I want you to think about. Just because some of those teams we played were poor because they had poor offenses doesn't mean that they had bad defenses. Look at Denver, for instance, the fourth-ranked defense. We played the Jets. They're notoriously known for their good defense. The Titans had a good defense when we played them. The Patriots had the second best defense. And yeah, Josh Allen didn't look good and had a pretty bad game, but we barely lost to them. And then you look at the Browns. It was a fluky kind of game. That was another one. But they have a really good defense, and we could have beaten them. The only game, I think, that was sort of out of reach for the Bills at some point was the Eagles game. But the fact remains that regardless of who we've played, we have played some really good defenses and came out on top. And that's what I think is important for people to realize. Josh Allen has the fifth most total touchdowns of any quarterback in the league. What does that tell you? The only people ahead of him are players like Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, and Russell Wilson. So when you look at it from that aspect, that's really good considering some of the defenses he's faced. And 8-3 is 8-3. When you stack up the wins like that, that's what makes a team a winner, period. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I agree with pretty much everything that you said. The only thing that I can add to that that I'm noticing and I want to point out is that those who were waiting to see some sort of step up from Josh Allen's performance and the offense, I would say the offense as a whole, even look no further than the last two games. If you can't see that this offense is starting to click, then I don't think you're watching the game objectively, because this team's offense is starting to get it together. And the 8-3 record, you're winning the games that you're supposed to win. And as you know, yeah, you only play what's on your schedule. We're going to find out. The game that I'm most curious about, to be honest with you, coming up is when the Ravens come to Buffalo. I want to see how they stack up against the Ravens. I don't even care how they stack up against the Patriots, to be honest with you. I want to see how they stack up against the Ravens. But I think this team is showing major progress over the last couple of games. And for all of those people that think that we need to see a 300-yard game from Josh, blah, 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 whatever. If you can't see that the light's starting to go on for him, then I don't know what you're looking at.
No. And that 300-yard stat is just completely stupid. It doesn't matter. We've seen so many quarterbacks throw for 300 yards because they were behind and they had to make up those yards and they still lost. Ryan Fitzpatrick is notorious for throwing 300-yard games, and he loses a lot of them, so it doesn't even really matter.
One of the things that impressed me yesterday was the time of possession that the offense had. The offense had long drives. They kept the ball on the ground. They ate up the clock. They gave the defense, the Bills' defense, a chance to be rested. So when they came out, they were ready to go, and Shaq Lawson went nuts. We saw a lot of energy coming from the defense because they weren't out there all the time. And that's a big thing, to have those nice long drives like that. That shows a lot of progress, in my opinion, and the offense as a whole.
You're right. Somebody said yesterday on Twitter, I don't remember who it was. I think it was somebody in the media, but they said, when the offense gives the Bills defense that much time to rest, the Bills defense is almost unstoppable. And they're right. because the Broncos had like 4 passing yards in the whole entire second half yesterday. The defense was just smothering and absolutely incredible and almost forced a shutout. So
it was nuts.
It was crazy. So I really do think that this team is starting to play as an entire team. The offense was behind for so long, and now they're kind of catching up a little bit. Not to say that they're as good as the defense yet, but they're getting there, as evidenced also by the Miami game last week, where we played really well. But what's one important factor in both of those games? Getting the run game going to help Josh Allen.
Probably the other thing I want to throw in here, too, is special teams was much better. Our punting situation seems to be a bit more stabilized, and that's a great relief. And Hauschka's also got himself back on track. And Andre Roberts, man, a couple of times I thought he was going to break loose. So it's helped that special teams has kind of pulled their act together as well.
Yeah, you know what? They came in yesterday as, I think, the number one ranked special teams unit, which was surprising, but not really when you see how many plays Andre Roberts breaks off every game.
Yep.
But also, yesterday, I heard one of the announcers say that the Bills are also the least penalized team on special teams, which that shocked me.
Wow.
Right? I didn't think that at all. But I guess it's true. I mean, that's what they said. Which also, I do want to bring up one more point. The one thing that is killing our team is penalties, which is surprising because McDermott preaches discipline and the process and working as a team. And that's just one area where I think that they really need to improve on, because some of these games were lost because of stupid plays and penalties that killed drives.
Absolutely. And in particular, the pre-snap penalties. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that have to stop.
Those are killing me. They're killing the team. They're killing the fan base. And you know that Sean McDermott is heated over it.
They're killing me.
All right. The last thing. It's a little shorter podcast since we have a short week and we have to record another one on Friday. But the last thing I want to talk about is this Dallas game. So we had kind of a discussion on Rumblings a little bit amongst ourselves. And some think that Josh Allen's nerves will get in the way on Thursday because it's a Thanksgiving game. It's nationally televised. It's in Jerry's world in Dallas, big market. And really, it has some implications as far as the playoffs go for us. We kind of need to pull some of these wins out in order to continue to be the number one wild card seed. Do you think that's going to happen with Josh Allen? Do you think that his nerves are going to kind of get in the way and he's going to lose the game for the team?
Psychobabble alert. No, but I will say it's definitely possible. He might have a case of the nerves. He might look like he did when he, I think, first played the Patriots and looked like he was going to get rolled over. Josh Allen is now into his, 25th, 26th game? But at any rate, he's played enough games now that he's starting to manage his adrenaline better. He's coming out and starting games and not totally jacked up like he used to be. Now, we'll see what happens on Thursday. Is it possible that he's going to get a case of the nerves? Sure. And anything can happen. You start dropping the ball and then everything snowballs and all hell can break loose. That's certainly a possibility. But I don't see it happening, because what I see in observing Josh now from the outside is that he's starting to have the lights go on. The defenses are starting to come to him a little quicker in terms of recognition. The game is starting to slow down for him. And make no mistake, these last two games are big confidence builders for him. And he's riding into this game, the Wyoming Cowboys, riding in with a two-game win streak and feeling pretty good about himself. That's big. I expect that if he can keep his nerves in control, you know, everybody thinks he's going to just blow up. I don't think that's the case. I think that he's starting to show some signs of maturity. And we'll see. He's got to take that next step. Can he handle being in Dallas's palace? Can he perform on Thanksgiving? I think he can. I think he's ready.
I think you're right. And there's two things that I have to say to that. The first is, any past Bills team and how they've responded or how they played on primetime television, it's irrelevant. This is Josh Allen's only second year, a lot of new players, a new regime. So I really don't want to hear any kind of chatter about how the Bills usually or typically perform in primetime games, because it just doesn't matter.
Oh, I just want to add to that. That goes back to the old thing that I'm always saying about flipping the coin 10 times. What happened in the past doesn't necessarily project into the future. And I realize that Bills fans are off the rails about that and get easily triggered. But we have to remember that this team really might be good.
Right. Especially when this team is just so revamped the last 3 years that they have nothing to do with any of the teams in the past. So that talk just needs to end. We need to evaluate based on, basically, since maybe Sean McDermott has taken over, and actually really since Josh Allen has become the quarterback of the team.
It's not your father's Bills.
No, it's not. Thank goodness. Now, the second part of that is Josh Allen has always had swag, but you're right. The last two games are really a confidence builder. And I want to read this tweet that someone, his name is Mike Kliss, and he covers the Broncos. And he tweeted out, Alexander Johnson on hitting Josh Allen as the quarterback threw the touchdown to Beasley. He said, man, that was tough. I didn't see him throw a touchdown. Next thing you know, I'm getting up off the ground and he goes, you know, it's a touchdown. I'm not going to say what I said to him after that. And I love that tweet because Josh Allen just has so much confidence and so much swagger. And he's a little bit cocky with players from other teams. And I absolutely love it. I think that's great. And I also think it's a reason why he doesn't come into Dallas over jittery and hyper adrenalized. And yeah, maybe he starts off a few series that way. But I absolutely think that he calms down real quick, especially going back to our first topic with the play of the offensive line and the fact that our run game has gotten going. I think he's going to be just fine.
Absolutely. Getting that running game going is huge for Josh Allen's confidence. And furthermore, I agree with you 100% in terms of having a little swag ain't such a bad thing.
Josh Allen's funny because he is not afraid to get up in a 300-pound defender's face and mouth off to him if he feels that he's right in doing so. He just goes, he's like fearless, in my opinion. And he's played like that the last 2 weeks as well. So I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think Sean McDermott kind of hit the nail on the head. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Sean McDermott, he may not have a PhD in psychology, but he has the wisdom of a PhD in psychology in terms of how he works with these players. He gets them.
He's a very wise man. I love Sean McDermott for that reason. All right. Do you have anything else to add?
Nope. Other than I hope everybody has a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. And we get to do two podcasts this week, so that's going to be fun.
That is going to be fun. I hope everybody does have a great Thanksgiving. And speaking of giving, let's talk about our giveaway, everybody's favorite part of the podcast. So last week, or maybe it was longer, I don't know. We've kind of been gone for a few weeks with dealing with some issues. We had given away an 8x10 signed Andre Reed picture. And the winner of that was the Bearded Photog on Twitter. So congratulations, Sam. It couldn't have gone to a better person.
Yay.
Yay. This week, courtesy of Jim Ruther, we are giving away a signed 8x10 of Joe DeLaMalure. If you're interested in winning that, all you have to do is follow us, the Mafia Mavens, on Twitter. Follow Jim Ruther. That's at Jimmy, R-E-U, 81. And by the way, I always say Jim Ruther's name wrong. It's actually Jim Ruther, but it's so ingrained in my head, Jim. I'm so sorry. I love you. I just can't help it. That's your new nickname for me now. And then once you follow both us and Jim, then take a screenshot listening to this week's podcast and tweet it out to our pinned tweet at the top of our profile on the Mafia Mavens, and you'll be automatically entered to win. So good luck to everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving. And before I go, I just want to give a shout out to all of the other podcasts on the Buffalo Rumblings Network. They always give great perspectives and different perspectives. Anything that you want on the Buffalo Bills, you can find on that podcast network. And they are Believe, Blitz Bills, Buffalo Rumblings Q&A, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, Circling the Wagons, The Nick and Nolan Show, and our own Mafia Maven Show. Thank you so much for listening, and go Bills!